Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. Our AccuWeather forecast for today, going to be turning partly cloudy, going to be breezy though. We'll have a high of about 67. In Kenosha right now, 58 degrees, 55 in Burlington, 60 in Milwaukee, 59 in Racine. Green Bay Packers looked a lot better against Detroit at Lambeau Field yesterday. Aaron Rodgers throwing 4 touchdowns. Eddie Lacy ran for just over 100 yards. Most of the offense, though, was in the first half, and the defense then allowed the Lions to get to within a touchdown at the end.
I don't think anybody gives a you-know-what if the offense is back or not. It's just about winning, and we got to win. We're 2-1. We were efficient at times. That's important. We did a good job on third downs. You know, it's going to be games like this. We got to outscore the opponent, and we did today.
Packers going to be home now for a month. Starting things out with a bye, though, that'll help get some of the injuries healed up for the game that comes up next. This came on the heels of some very intense rain in the city of Racine late Sunday afternoon. But when it was time for the Racine Interfaith Coalition's prayer vigil on Holmes Avenue south of 16th Street for recent homicide victim Joe Torres, just 5 RIC members showed up, led as always by Reverend Tony Larson.
We always gather when there's been a murder in Racine. And in the case of Joe Torres, he was shot several times a couple weeks ago, but he only died for the last week, I guess. And it's just always kind of sad and hard to come together for this kind of reason. And yet, even the people like us, I don't think any of us knew him personally.
36-year-old Torres, the shooting death remains under investigation by police. No one from any of the two-story homes on that block came outside to see what was happening in front of 1609 homes, not even a peek from behind windows. Racine Interfaith Coalition holds these candlelight prayer vigils at or near the locations of violent deaths. While many people were catching the Packers game on TV somewhere, a group gathered at the pavilion on the north end of Racine's Pritchard Park for a National Day of Remembrance for Murder Victims. This woman lost her adult daughter in late 2012, told the gathering, "It's sometimes a daily struggle just to come home.
Each and every day, just the thought of waking up in the morning and getting out of bed and doing what we have to do throughout the day will remain very hard for all of us forever. I lost my daughter Bianca at the age of 21 on Christmas Day."
Katie, one of the victim witness office specialists with the DA's office, mentioned that the staff, they feel the pain of those as well who they offer to help.
They go to court with you and have the tissues ready, but know that we cry with you at times. We may not do it in court with you, but we definitely come back to the office. And these cases are hard for us too. But each one of them makes us a better person and makes us better equipped to deal with the next family that has to unfortunately come through our office.
District Attorney Rich Schipetti joined the members of the Survivors Group there and others to release dozens of balloons in memory of murder victims sent quickly toward the heavens by the brisk south wind. Candidates for Racine County District Attorney scheduled to attend a couple of forums before the November election. Republican Patricia Hansen, Democrat Thomas Binger are going to be discussing the issues at a forum sponsored by the Racine Interfaith Coalition on October the 6th. That's a Thursday at the church at 322 Ohio Street. That's from 6:30 till 8 p.m. Then there'll be a second forum by the African American Roundtable of Leaders. It's scheduled for Gateway Technical College Wednesday, October the 29th. Mount Pleasant Village Board, regular meeting coming up tonight, 6:30 at the Village Hall. The agenda includes approval of the proposed agreement with the Racine Police Department for paid use of the Village Police Department's indoor shooting range and requested approval for the purchase of a used ambulance by the fire department. Wisconsin State Patrol does its part to try to make sure that school buses are safe. They inspect them at least once a year.
Some of the things we look at, we'll inspect the bus's brakes, steering systems, the lights to make sure everything is operating correctly, etc. Then we make sure all the equipment inside the bus is up to specifications as well, including the seats, emergency exits, roof hatches.
Lieutenant Carl Middlestad says the safety record is due in part to the way that these buses are also designed. State Patrol does about 11,000 school bus inspections every year. And Milwaukee County recently got approval from the U.S. Department of Transportation to begin the project development phase of the East-West Bus Rapid Transit Project. It's a critical next step, that is, to modernizing the county's transit system. Environmental and engineering studies can now be started on that 9-mile BRT project. County Executive Chris Abley's upcoming budget expected to include funding to continue planning for the Bus Rapid Transit Project, part of a broader commitment to ensuring a sustainable transit system for years to come. Almost a month after Racine Unified opened up three new schools, Board of Education tonight looking at a couple of new big-ticket projects during its 6:30 p.m. meeting at the district headquarters on Mount Pleasant Street. The Gerstead Agrihome complex needs a new heating and cooling system, and a new fire alarm system is also proposed. Total price tag is just under $9 million, the board recommending to approve Train Corporation, which has been doing work at several other schools in the district already. The real school build-out at the Sportsplex facility in Sturtevant, that is recommended for Riley Construction, the general contractor on the three schools that were built within 18 months. Cost is pegged at $3 million. Single-story, middle, and high school would be constructed within the banquet and retail office space at that complex. Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee is meeting at 5 o'clock this afternoon at City Hall. That agenda includes the Racine Rotary Club and Foundation's offer of $100,000 to the city to construct a permanent outdoor performance structure at the Lakefront Festival site, if it's permanently renamed the Paul P. Harris Rotary Park in honor of the Racine resident who founded Rotary. A $50,000 capital improvement program match would be needed. And there's a revisiting of the Racine County Prep Football Program's request for some help with the user fee and related charges for one marked field to be used at Humble Park. In Kenosha, Mayor John Antaramian's laid out some very interesting and major initiatives, even though he's only been in office for 6 months. This involves transportation and basic infrastructure improvements. Those proposals get some high marks from Art Sir. He's director of the Clausen Center for World Business at Carthage College. He talked with our partners at Gateway Public Radio.
Mayor Antaramian is really involving us in a much wider network. Public transportation is an important, including buses, is an important part of his comprehensive plan. It's impressive that he's got such a detailed plan and that he started to implement it so quickly.
Key projects include diverting a streetcar expansion grant to help fund extensions of the bus system, realigning Kenosha's fire stations with the help of a HUD loan, and using tax incremental financing to build a downtown parking ramp and to rebuild a large portion of 22nd Avenue. Meanwhile, two Kenosha Council committees are going to be in action tonight on a proposed ordinance that would make it harder for property owners to rent their homes with the help of an online home sharing service like Airbnb. Alderman Jan Makowski's proposal would require, among other things, a $50 annual license and not only a 24/7 contact person for any problem that might arise, but also the owner of the property being responsible for any nuisance violations. Also coming up this evening, there's a proposed settlement between Kenosha and the contractor that rebuilt the velodrome. That's up before the Parks Commission in a closed session. This is regarding cracks in the cement surface and some unexpected settling gaps that developed underneath the track. Any settlement proposal, though, would eventually have to be approved by the full Common Council. Thousands of empty seats and dorm rooms across the UW system this fall. Campuses all over the state, down about 5,000 students, though not all of them. Madison has about 270 more. Enrollment at UWM down about 1,200. System managers say there's no single reason why the enrollment is down. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. At WRJN News, that's for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.